Yes, a little bit later than I would have liked, but it is indeed Monday, and we are... Oh, my computer just made a noise, as in to say, your computer's riddled with viruses. And I was like, ah, it's all right. Anyway, a little bit later than I would have liked, because Becca's just gone to Saudi, so I had to help sort her bag out. She had a bit of a bag issue. Her suitcase, when I... she said, can you carry me suitcase down the stairs? I said, yeah. She went and took a meeting that she had to take before boarding on the flight. And I dragged her suitcase down the stairs. Now, when it got to the bottom of the stairs, I walked back up the stairs to carry on with what I was doing and found three zips. And in the dragging, I'd broken three zips off the suitcase. Now, in my panic, I attached them back on with baubles, hair baubles, which, and they all look pretty, like she didn't notice, but as she was getting in the cab, I had to say, FYI, I thought, what a shitbag move. But FYI, just as you can't do nothing about it, I've broke three zips, I've fixed them with baubles, so be careful when you're opening your zip, because it might like elasticate out and snap back and break your finger. And she didn't even have time to question me. She just glared a hole through me and went to Saudi. So I'll be in for a telling off in about, she probably landed in about 12 hours. So what time's it now? I'll pretend I'm in bed. She can tell me off tomorrow. She'll have calmed down by then. Anyway, how are you all doing? I hope you're all doing fantastically well. I do indeed. Today we have a belter of a show for you. And when I say belter, I do indeed mean belter, as in something that would keep your trousers up and around your waist. That's how much of a belter it is. What we're going to do first, as per usual, is thank our wonderful team over at Patreon for allowing the show to maintain its running procedure. Then, of course, we're going to do a paranormal review. And this week, I was so happy that I got to go and see the new Ghostbusters film. So that's what we're going to review. Then we're going to have one of your true paranormal experiences. And as ever, we round things up with a little trip up to the Tower of Terror to Becca's Reddit corner, where she, well, I, discover a story on Reddit relatively fresh off the press for us to dissect. And and that's how the show's going to run. So first and foremost, let's say a wonderful thank you to our newest team members. Now, we haven't done a Patreon read for so long that I'm going to have to split the backup into 2 weeks. So if you don't hear your name now, you'll hear it next week. Because, believe me, there's about 20 names and one, it doesn't do you all justice if I ram 20 names into a song. Two, I can't ram 20 names into a song. I'm not MNM. No, I'm not. I'm not Marshall the Mather. Anyway, I would like to say a huge thank you to our newest members. We have Ursa, we have Vicky Strange, Gracie May, Michelle Clark. Isn't Vicky Strange such a good name to have for a paranormal Patreon? Anyway, Aaron Kutcher, Ren T, Dawn Davina, Sarah Evans, CT, Rob, and Claire Eastwood. That's our first, what would you call it? There's a word, isn't it? We used to use it in work all the time. Cohort. That's our first cohort of Patreons. And you're going to get a little bluesy number that goes like this. Because, sorry, the guitar is indeed out. And your song goes like this. Oh, yeah. Ursa, Vicky Strange, Gracie May too. Oh, Nelly. Michelle Clark and Aaron Couture and Ren T for you and me. And then we got Davina. I pronounced that wrong, it's Dawn Davina. Shame on you, Kevin, shame. Sarah Evans and CT. Rob is there as well. Yeah, then we got Claire Eastwood. They're keeping the lights on well, I say. Thank you very much. A bad falsetto. I ended it on a seventh, which is a plus. Another minus was I strangely went to a B. I must look at this for next week's cohort. But in the meantime, a big thank you to our newest members over at Patreon. Now, if you're wondering why you would even bother, why would you even bother to sign up to Patreon? Well, let me tell you, as I place the guitar in a very precarious position. Basically, when you sign up, most shows do a Patreon, but we do two Patreon shows every week. each and every week. I'm quite funny, he says to himself, in terms of I run three shows. One of them, I do two Patreon shows a week, 30 minutes each, and that's this one. One is a ramble, which I do, it now comes out on the weekend. And then there's the Patreon Paranormal show only, which comes out on a Sunday. This week, it's me and Becca. Yes, thank you very much. A rare appearance on Patreon for her. So it's two shows a week, so it's eight a month. So you get an hour's extra content or two extra shows per week just by becoming a Patreon over at patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. And believe me, a lot of other shows out there don't put out that much Patreon content. There is well over nearly 400 hours now of Patreon-only content. So if you enjoy my attempts at comedy, and they are attempts, and the paranormal, head over there. If you like what we do, basically, head over there and, you know, you could binge for literal days nonstop. I was going to say about the other shows, this is why I'm funny. I stand here going, other shows just do like one Patreon show a week. I do one of them. That's the Dark Paranormal. Other shows will only do one every fortnight. I do one of them. That's the Deadly Countdown. So basically, I'm slagging myself off when I say these things. So don't be thinking, ooh, look at him having a pop at other podcasts. He's attacking himself. He's like a self-eating cell. Anyway, thank you, patrons. And if you want to join in on all the jazz, head over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Because indeed we do. And right now, we are going to talk about Ghost Busters, because it's time for a paranormal review, where I review something paranormal so you don't have to, because that would be insanity. Yes, we're talking today for today's paranormal review. Why am I doing that voice? Today, for today's paranormal review, that's better. That's more BBC. For today's paranormal review, we will be looking at the motion picture Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And I went and seen this through the week with Becca. She very kindly agreed to come with me, although she doesn't get any of the references or Easter eggs. Do you know what I mean? And there's loads in this. I mean, the whole fucking thing revolves around an egg, really. That was like, you know, a really bad pun. But my point being, so this is not a spoiler, okay? It kind of is, but it's not in terms of the grand scheme of things. It's just a thing in the film. Right. So, you know, in Ghostbusters 1, or Ghostbusters, they're in the Willard Library, is it? I think. I'm not sure. And there's that terrifying old lady who's reading a book as a ghost. And she goes, shh. And they just look at her. And then she goes, rawr, and turns into that thing. And they all go, and they all run out down the stairs. Well, they go back to that library to look for something, and she's back. And I was like trying to say to Becca, oh my God, it's Efron. And you know when you're like, oh, you're so excited by an Easter egg, but the person you're with has no idea what the Easter egg with. So I kind of told her off afterwards. It was like, oh, I kind of wish I went with someone who liked Ghostbusters. And she was like, oh, nice one. I agreed to go somewhere with you. And I'm getting slagged off. I was like, no, you're not getting slagged off. Like kicking stones with my hands in my pockets like a kid. And I was like, I just wish. Anyway, but what is it like is what you all want to know. And is it worth watching? And as I've said, since time immemorial, is that the right word? Don't know. But I won't slag anything off in these reviews because I'm not that sort of person. I wouldn't dedicate your time nor my airtime to putting someone else down. If I'm disappointed with something that I think can do better, I would say that. Do you know what I mean? Out of love and respect for the thing that it is. But I think they nail this. I love when a series isn't rebooted. It's carried on in the same universe. So, you know, they'd done the detour where it was an all-female Ghostbusters, and that was a great film. And I was kind of in on that, especially how they ended it with them, like, the cliffhanger of, now this is a spoiler, but if you haven't watched it by now, you know, it's not on your list, let's be honest, because it's about, like, 6 years old or something. It ends at the end credits with someone putting the phone down and going, who's Zool? And you're like, oh, my God, Easter egg, ah! So I did like that bit of a detour, but I loved the last one. which I can't remember the name of. But they've kept it in the same universe as the original Ghostbusters. Do you know what I mean? So I love it when they do that. Rocky done it really well. It was the first one as a series that really done that. You know, no, it's still the same universe. Rocky is still Rocky. We watch him age. And the Ghostbusters franchise now is doing that, you know. And you're growing to love the, like, from film one to film two. At the end of film two, I'm now embedded in who the new Ghostbusters are. And they're doing a handover slowly because I've seen it slated in, I'd say, the press, but what is the press anymore? You know, I've seen it slated on, like, online and stuff that, like, why do they keep feeling the need to bring in the original Ghostbusters in every new Ghostbusters? Because in that universe, that's what's required at that moment. Also, they founded it in that universe. They're still invested in it. And it works. Do you know, it's not just a cameo. It's not just, for example, if you've seen, pardon my French, but fucking Mamma Mia 2, where apropos of nothing, Cher flies in a helicopter and just, like, abseils down and starts singing ABBA. And it's like, let's just, like, crowbar her in and say she's someone's nan. It's not like that. There's, like, logic and reason behind why the Ghostbusters appear. And it's always a charm to see Bill Murray, let's be honest, in anything. So to see him back in the Venkman role, I mean, I'm 44, nearly 45. And when we were kids on the playground and the original Ghostbusters was out and then Ghostbusters 2, when we used to play Ghostbusters on the playground, because this is before your PlayStations, listen to Grandad here, but the big fight was who was going to be Peter Venkman because he was the coolest cat out of the Ghostbusters. And the only other shout people wanted to be, you either wanted to be Peter Venkman or you wanted to be Winston. Now you think, well, surely Ray's like a found, you know, he's like an integral part. Like Winston comes in the original film as the final Ghostbuster. So you'd think maybe people don't want to be him, but people did want to be him on the playground. And do you know why? Because they get to shout, I love this town. And that was why. So it went Venkman, Winston, Ray, no one wanted to be Egon. Because all they had to do was walk around the playground with a stick, pretending it was a PKE meter, and poking fellow students. And, you know, and that's Kev's childhood. End of story. But Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, the idea is wonderful, right? Now, the premise is an ancient, as it always is, an ancient evil that can destroy the world is coming back. And that's not a spoiler, that's in the fucking trailer. Pardon the French again. But, you know, it is in the trailer. But interestingly, it's very akin to Ghostbusters 1 in terms of the containment unit plays a heavy role in the film. And the fact that they keep so many spirits in there and blah, 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 blah. But it ties in. I can't even recall what podcast it was on that I talked it about. It might have even been a Patreon. But so if I'm repeating myself and you've heard this on this show, I apologize. But I was reading, in fact, it was on the Patreon for this show, because we're basically doing a world tour on the Patreon where we're going to different countries. The basic premise is, obviously, it's not only English language countries that have paranormal stories. So I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to do a bit of a world tour per show and go to, like, Italy and see what Italian ghost stories there are, France, Spain. Yes, it's Europe-centric at the minute, but it won't be. Anyway, in Italy, in the Lombard region, or Lombardy region, wherever it's called, there's a belief amongst the church and the clergy there that when somebody carries out an exorcism, be it of an object, a house, a person, the spirit, because it's now earthbound, it can no longer... Because I always assumed you exorcise a spirit, it goes back to the ether, or it goes back to hell, or wherever. But their belief is, no, it's earthbound, it can no longer be celestial, whatever it is. So it goes to a place that they call the contained, right? And I thought, what an amazing idea for a film, that this place, the contained, opens, or there's a crack in the wall of the contained. But it's basically a containment unit, and Ghostbusters is doing it. So Kev's idea for a film went right down the pan after watching Frozen Empire. But Anyway, all of that aside, it's got Paul Rudd in it, the vampire that is Paul Rudd, and a stellar cast, really. You know, Dan Aykroyd's got a genuine belief in the paranormal, and he oversees these films. So I love it when they do those segment cuts to Ray's, what's it called? Ray's little weird occult shop. Anyway, they'll do a segment cut to him, and he'll be talking about like a genuine, specific, or he'll refer to some like a real case. Do you know what I mean? He'll be like holding an object and go, well, something like this was vomited up by Annalise Mikkel back in the infamous Annalise Mikkel possession case. You know what I mean? So it makes you want to go, oh, wow. Well, it does if you mean. Anyway, so I'll end this because I could talk about it for hours, as we can tell. But I will just say this. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, 2 frozen thumbs to the sky. And if you didn't enjoy it, that's fine. You know, if you disagree with my summarization of that film, that's fine. You may have had to live Kev's playground life where Ghostbusters was such an integral part of growing up. But if you did, 2 thumbs to the sky. Oh no, they're frozen. I didn't sound too concerned that my thumbs were frozen there, did I? If anything, I sounded slightly camp. Nothing wrong with that. It turns out that's how I'd sound if I had frozen thumbs. Anyway, nearly had a frozen tongue then. Anyway, it's my favourite time of the week, and I sincerely mean that. And it's where we get to read your paranormal experiences out live on air. And when I say live, obviously I mean you could be listening to this at any time. If you hear any background taps, that's me removing my glasses because my eyesight has worsened to a point I can no longer read with my glasses on. That's an interesting turn up for the books, isn't it? Doctor, doctor, give me the news. Anyway, we've had an email in from George, and George writes, hello, Kevin. Hi. Becca. Meow. Oh, wait there, fucked that up, didn't I? Becca, hello. Oh, she's on a plane, doesn't matter. And the neighbour's cat. Meow. Yes, you jumped in earlier when I said Becca, neighbour's cat. Know your role. I'm a fellow Scouser and now recent patron. Why, thank you. Subscriber to WinTag and to Dark, the Dark Paranormal. Well, thank you. I was listening to an older edition of Dark Bites and heard a submission regarding haunted stays at Airbnbs and the like. As such, I thought I would write in with my experiences. These stories aren't particularly scary. Oh, frigate then. Anyway, moving on to Becca's Reddit Corner. I'm joking. But they're definitely a little creepy. I'm one of those listeners who's fascinated by the paranormal but has actually never experienced anything at all. Probably not a bad thing. That's an interesting paragraph to put before some paranormal tales. So let's see how we get on, Georgie boy. About 10 years ago, my family went to stay in a large cottage in Carnarvon, North Wales. It was my brother, his partner, and their daughter aged about 5. Said partner's sister, her other half, and their 2 boys aged around 6 and 4 years old, my mum in her late 60s, and my partner and I. Everyone pretty much had their own room, except for my partner and I, who were essentially add-ons. We arrived a few days after everyone else, and were fine with turning the living room into a bedroom after everyone else had gone to bed. The cottage was old-fashioned and badly in need of a cosmetic facelift. It was also really dark. I wouldn't say there was a particularly creepy or oppressive feeling, but there was a distinct lack of any natural light. I certainly never noticed anything odd or unexplained, but in fairness, I may have all the sensitivity of a house brick. And to be fair, with 3 young kids running around and 7 adults all enjoying a much-needed break and the occasional bottle of wine, we may not have been best placed to notice anything untoward. Anyway, on the morning we were checking out of the cottage, the adults were gathered in the kitchen having breakfast. My mum casually remarked that in the middle of the night, she randomly woke up and saw a young blonde girl stood in her doorway. She said she looked away briefly, and when she next looked over, the little girl had vanished. My mum said she wasn't afraid, which was odd as she refuses to watch anything scary, and she went back to sleep. Me, being a pragmatist and as delicate as a bulldozer, inquired whether she had in fact just seen her own granddaughter. She quite patiently responded, stating she knows what her own granddaughter looks like, and anyway, she was wearing a dress and not pajamas. A solid argument, but I was unconvinced. A few hours later, my brother went to hand back the keys to the owners, who lived in the adjoining property, and when passing, asked if anyone had ever reported odd things in the house. The owner then had a slight smile on his face and replied, "Ah, you saw the little girl, didn't you?" Suffice to say, I'm now less skeptical of what my mum saw. Wow. So that's George's first tale, of which there is, it looks like, two. Very good. And I think what we'll do there, because we've got quite a lengthy red corner, is we'll read George's second tale next week. But it's an interesting one, and I do love the, and, you know, I'm not saying it's just a Scouse trait, but it's a very northern trait, I guarantee you. My sister could do the same. The way that your nan sounds like my sister. Do you know what I mean? It's not just a case, like when you say, "Are you sure you didn't see X?" They won't just say, "No, I'm convinced." They'll literally put you in your place. "No, I know what this looks like. Don't be calling me a dickhead," basically, is what they're saying, but in a better way and without the use of foul language, Kevin. So, George, thank you very much. That's a very interesting thing. And it's also, I love stories of validation. You know, you return the keys and the fellow literally says, "Ah, you seen the small girl in the dress?" It's like, "No, but my mother did." So fair play to your mother. It will be interesting to know, George, as well. Obviously, I'm going to read your second story next week. But in the meantime, if you could get in touch, because what George has done as well, and I can't divulge this because he's asked me not to, but he's also provided me with the full address of one of these locations for next week's story. So there may be a little trip on the cards. But what I would say, George, if you're listening to this now, send me another email and let me know if your mum in general, like, what is her belief system like, you know? And also, has she seen anything else? That'd be good to know. I do believe. Anyway, George, thank you for your tale. It is the idea of, it's a common one, isn't it? The whole, "I woke up and there was someone in the doorway." And it's also interesting because a lot of people say, I think they look a bit too deep. I think they're like, "What is it about doorways?" And it's like, yeah, I appreciate you could say, "Oh, they're like a portal. All doorways are like portals." But also, in an old cottage, it's just the door. Do you know what I mean? If it's a ghost of someone who's lived with there before, they've used that door. They're not going to decide, "So I won't use the door this time. Going to walk through the wall, scare the shit out of them." They're going to use the door. So it's not that surprising for something to be stood at the door frame, especially if they're just having a nose, like, "Who's in here now?" But I do still think, I think it was on this show, but I've got this belief that we're going to see like an increase in paranormal phenomena coming out of Airbnbs. And my reasoning behind it is this. We always have stories, don't we, of, apologies if you've heard me say this already, but we always have stories of, "I moved into a new house and the spirits there clearly didn't like that I'd moved in. So this started happening." Right, so if you've got an angry spirit when somebody new arrives and lives there, how angry does that angry spirit get when some entrepreneur, and I use that in bunny ear rabbits, some entrepreneur rents it out as an Airbnb and every other week there's somebody new in there? I think that spirit would go from angry to malevolent. And I don't know if they're like Pokemon, you know what I mean? And become, eventually you'll walk in and it'll just be like blood pouring down the walls. "Get the fuck out of my house. Who the fuck are you now? You're the 29th person this month, for Christ's sake." And Jesus would go, "You're not allowed to say my name." Anyway, enough waffle from me. But thank you, George, and we all look forward to your next story next week. Right, now it's time. Brace yourselves, don your toughest walking boots, for we're about to take a bit of a tall, steady climb. If you've ever climbed Wallace's Monument in Scotland, it's about the same amount of stairs to get up to Becca's Reddit Corner. So let's do it. Let's make that walk and let's see what she's got for us in her Tower of Terror as we enter Becca's Reddit Corner. That was weird, wasn't it?
Ladies and gentlemen, now it is time for Paranormal Reddit Corner. with Becca.
Hello, you wonderful people. And where are we right now? Well, you can guess by the creaky sound.
Creak.
And the scattering of spiders. Scatter, scatter, scatter. Great sound effects, as per usual. I'm, of course, in the company of Becca.
Hello.
And we are in her terrifying turret of terror in Becca's Reddit corner. Hello again.
Hello.
That's all you say, isn't it? She's actually dead. I've just recorded her saying hello. So that's all she's saying through this episode, won't you?
Hello.
There you go. She's not dead. Far too many references to me killing her on this.
I know you need to stop, guys. Seriously, if I ever like go missing, just find these tapes.
Yeah, tapes. Yeah, find these tapes and then find a tape deck. Anyway, it is Becca's Reddit Corner. I'm going to... How are you, by the way? Because you're about to head off the Middle East again, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
For 2 whole weeks. Mm-hmm. Then you're back for 2 whole weeks.
Yeah.
Then you're gone for 2 whole weeks.
Yeah.
So Kevin is possibly going to be full of tattoos, skin and bone, and the house will be ablaze. Anyway, I found you this to read.
It better not be ablaze. There'll be a cat in it.
No, it won't be.
Right. Welcome to Reddit Corner with Becca.
Thank you.
The title of this story is Strange Experience in London Way Back in 2005.
Oh, God, don't say way back in 2005. It's like yesterday.
It was 19 years ago.
No, don't.
Just... when you were recording a song and wondering if it would lead to a gruesome death.
Very true. Well, that's what we just covered on Patreon. Mm. Yeah.
Hello, folks.
Hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to share a strange, very vivid experience that happened back in 2005. My father and I... Let's resume.
Ah, well done.
My father and I travelled to London, England, when I went...
Sorry.
You can pipe down.
I'm from the north, that's what you say when someone goes to London.
We've been to London plenty of times.
You see the Queen? Anyway, King, even? No? Go on.
Can I tell the guy about... We had that guy who we used to work with who thought you couldn't just go to London, do you remember?
No.
He said... So when he was a kid... He thought London was some, like, I don't know, some kind of, like, mythical place or whatever. And so he was in school and one of his mates came back over, like, from a holiday and was like, oh, we went to London. And he was like, what? You went to London? Like, oh, what? Did you see the Queen? Like, you don't just go to London.
Really?
Yeah. It was,
You'll have to tell me about off-air, as they say.
T-Dog.
No.
Yeah. And I was howling. I thought it was really funny. I was like...
T-Dog. And the job he's in now.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
A fucking number of lives under his control.
I know, yeah. He was literally, like, incredulous and thought this guy was just, like, absolutely lying. And he went to, and it was so bad, he went home and he said to his mum, you won't believe this. Like, Johnny reckons he went to London. Like, what a tip. And his mum was like, well, maybe he did.
Was he younger, take it, at this time?
Yeah, he was younger. So I was like, well, maybe he did go to London. He was like, oh, yeah, right. Like, you can just go to London.
I told you about that girl I worked with, didn't I? The two amazing things she said. One, she came in absolutely shocked, like she's seen a ghost, white. Mm. I asked her what was wrong. She said, the moon's in the sky.
Right? Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And she was like, but it's daytime. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I said, sometimes you can see the moon in the day. And she was like, no, the sun goes down, turns round, and is the moon.
Yeah, she thought the moon was the other side of the sun.
And I was like, what? She was like, what? And she genuinely believed that. And the second amazing thing, she said she was going to Wales that night with a boyfriend. And I just, off the cuff, said, I hope you've got your Welks, right? I made up a currency. They obviously just use pounds like everyone else. I said, I hope you got your Welks. And she went, what? I went, Wales, they use the Welk. They don't accept the pound. She was like, what? And I was like, seriously? I said, if you haven't got them by now, you're not going to get them because you can only get them from one post office. On the border, you know,
like
by
across
will.
A little bridge.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, don't, please tell me you're lying. I went, no. And she literally left the room to bring a boyfriend and came back in and went, you're a bad knobhead, you. And I was like, I'm a bad knobhead. Welks.
There's also a video that I think is really funny. I showed it to you recently for some odd reason. Of in Coronation Street, it's a clip of put together, someone's put together of every time a character in Coronation Street says they're going to London. And the other person's reaction, yeah. And
really?
I was like, no, I am, Mum. I'm going to London. And they go, London? And it's just this whole monologue over the years of everyone going, London?
That like... sounds amazing. That sounds really funny. We'll have to play that.
I showed you that recently?
No, we'll have to play that. Okay. That sounds really good. But anyway, back
that
to...
That would be audio. We could play it out.
Well, we will at the end of this, but okay. Go on. Okay. Go through the story first.
Okay. So, without you whistling, my father and I travelled to London, England, when I went to attend university there. We're from New York, and my father was familiar with the city of London from work trips. While we were setting up my living situation in London, we were staying at a hotel on Fleet Street, not far from St. Paul's Cathedral. This person has cash.
Ooh.
One of the nights at the hotel, as I lay down to sleep, I open my eyes and from the wall, maybe just 3 feet from the bed, ghostly faces began emerging.
Plural.
Yes. Hello? I wasn't scared, more intrigued. What was I seeing? I had not taken any alcohol or drugs, and I don't have a history of hallucinations. But for the better part of a half hour or so, hundreds of faces emerged and retreated back into the wall.
Pardon the French.
Men, women, children. Some would be shy and keep a distance, while others would get right up close to my face.
That's horrible.
I could get a sense of personalities, some seeming more aggressive than others, as well as class variations. How could you tell a class?
Class variations?
How could you tell a class variation? I told you this person up, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
How could you see a class variation just from a face?
I don't know. Okay. Covered in soot.
Well, that's it. But they say, as well as class variations, some had dirty faces and some were well kempt. They all also struck me as being from an older time. Styles.
Well, obviously the ghosts.
Styles in facial hair and headwear. No, someone could have died yesterday.
Well, that's true.
For maybe 30 minutes or so, I was captivated by the vision. In fact, the only reason I finally looked away is because I grew sleepy. No, if that's happening, you're not bored,
no,
are you?
No, like,
drifting off to the comforting image of ghostly faces.
The only reason you would fall asleep there is through lack of oxygen because you've held your breath since face one appeared.
I know, honestly. I never mentioned a word of this to my father and have only spoke of this to a very few people. But every now and then, I will look for any kind of similar experience shared by anyone else.
Interesting.
But I have not yet found anything.
I believe them. I mean, you're yawning, telling there, but that's more down to your consuming alcohol. Any decent responses?
Someone says, sounds fascinating. Maybe they were attracted to your energy and came out of the wall to see you. It's interesting how some were shy and others more assertive. They were checking out the newest tenants.
Yeah, so odd. Fleet Street's where the newspapers are, isn't it?
Yeah. It says, London is very active because it's been around a long time. True. Plus, with all the work going on all the time, so it disturbs a lot of stuff. Look into the past of where you were staying.
Yeah, I think you should always do that.
But why would there be, like, so many? And half an hour of this repeating thing seems like thousands of people. Yeah, it's
not like a conveyor belt, like a queue.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. But none of this is as interesting as you going on your phone and finding out this audio of... Because this is amazing. Because, one, I've never heard it.
I showed it to you recently.
No, two, for our American listeners, they will get an amazing sense of the North-South divide because Coronation Street is a long-running soap opera that is set in Manchester, and which is obviously about 20 minutes away from here, 30 minutes away from here, so in the North. And there is this thing of London, like being the big smoke.
It's Coronation Street characters aghast at London.
Okay, yeah, go on, play it, and let's put your speaker up.
Can I play it if I don't have...
You can play if you...
TikTok.
Yeah.
London? She's on her way to London. London?
I've got to London this afternoon. I'll be out your hair then.
London? University College London.
London?
Going to London. London? London. London? Might give London a go. London?
I've been banging on the Barlow's door for ages. There's no answer.
No, she's in London.
London?
London.
Why are you saying it like that?
I'm staying here a few days, then I'm moving to London. I've got a job interview on Monday.
London!
So good.
That is amazing. Oh, I love things like that. London!
Aghast to London.
Some, you know what, Coronation Street has this is not paranormal now, but it has provided some of the best comedy moments ever. Steve McDonald is a legend. There's an amazing scene where it's almost like he ad-libbed it, 'cause it was that quick. And he's doing something, and this woman comes in complaining, like playing what we now call a Karen, and was coming in going, you can't do that here, you can't do that there. And he goes, listen, love. And she goes, don't love me. And he goes, I don't. But it was just so quick. It was amazing. But yeah, we do have a fascination with London.
Which is what you did. So when I read that out, London, you whistle like, oh, London. Ooh. As if we haven't been like plenty of times.
Yeah, I know. And I have a love-hate relationship with London because right now, if you ask me, I hate the fucking place. But when we go, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, yeah, you have zero reason to hate it and you have a nice time every time.
I have a nice time every time. I mean, don't get me wrong, the price of a pint, well, it's more or less town prices now. Depends on where you go. But we once went to look after your mate's house, didn't we?
Mm.
And we stupidly went to a pub directly opposite Euston Station.
Yeah.
Which was the mistake. And I, being me, because I'm a nice guy, was like, I'll get the round in. And it was like a pint for me, a pint for him, and a double
glass of wine.
Jack.
No, it was a glass of wine.
Was it a glass of wine?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, anticipating it might be expensive, I had a glass of wine instead.
Yeah, yeah, a glass of wine. And it comes to something like 28 quid.
Yeah, literally.
And I was like,
what?
I felt you feel violated. Because in Liverpool, that, like, 2 pints and a glass of wine, like 11 quid.
Not anymore.
So. No, it was then.
I don't know where you're going.
It was then.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah. Thank you for that look into that weird experience, and also
yeah, you're welcome. You literally, if anyone wants to experience it and see the video as well as the audio, you literally just Google Coronation Street characters saying London.
That's amazing. I love things like that. It's just so good. The reaction, it's a genuine reaction, and the thing is, we've all experienced it when somebody says, "No, he's in London." London. I've done it. I've said it to people. Like, where's blah blah? Oh, he's in London this weekend. London,
I know.
And even like I would even say, like, if I said to say me mate who we just spoke to,
mm-hmm.
where's Andy, for example, and he went, he's in London for the weekend. I would genuinely go, London for the weekend.
Yeah, I get less of a reaction saying I'm going to Saudi Arabia than really people do saying they're going to London.
You really do, and hysterically, you've realised something, haven't you? That people confuse Dubai and Saudi Arabia. Because once in your life have you been to Dubai for work.
Yeah.
Only Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But about 14 people have said to you so far, watch out for the floods.
I know. Absolutely every person who I've spoke to says, like, hey, is your trip still all right? Or, oh, you're going with the rain? Or someone was even, like laughing, like, as if it was dead funny. Like, oh, the weather's even worse over there than it is here. Like, it's a 3-hour flight from where I'm going.
Like you said, it's like me saying I'm going to Manchester and you're going, oh, it's raining in Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah, storms in Spain. Be careful. Yeah. Like, all right.
Exactly, yeah. Flash floods in Rome, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you as always, Becca. Yeah, we hope to once more climb your turret of terror when you return.
You're welcome. Thank you for visiting Reddit Corner with Becca.
You're welcome.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.